The scripture reading this morning is Isaiah chapter 26. We will read Isaiah chapter 26. And there we read God's word in Isaiah chapter 26. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high. The lofty city, he layeth it low. He layeth it low, even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see, but they shall see and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemy shall devour them. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. O Lord, our God, other lords beside thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. They are dead, they shall not live. They are deceased, they shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them, and made all their memory to perish. Thou hast increased the nation, O Lord. Thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified. Thou hast removed it far unto all the ends of the earth. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery is in pain and crieth out in her pangs, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child, we have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation is overpast. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. So far the reading of God's holy word. The text for the sermon this morning is the second part of verse 9. Verse 9, the second part, when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Beloved congregation, Throughout the book of Isaiah, there is special reference given to the Assyrian onslaught. Assyria was, in those days of the prophet Isaiah, the world power. And the Assyrians were a menace. They were a powerful people, and they were a great danger to the people of Israel. They took away the 10 tribes into exile. And then Sennacherib of Assyria came to Jerusalem, and he had caught Hezekiah and Jerusalem as a bird in its nest. That's what we find in inscriptions from ancient Assyria. But the Assyrian kings, they never told their defeats. They never recorded them. So it does say, I caught Hezekiah and Jerusalem as a bird in a cage. But it doesn't say what happened after that. Because after that, the angel of the Lord came. Jerusalem was surrounded. But the angel of the Lord came and killed in one night 185,000 Assyrian soldiers, and Hezekiah was delivered because Hezekiah feared the Lord. And he had received a terrible blasphemous letter from the king of Assyria that he had to surrender to him, that he never could hold out against the Assyrian army. And they mocked, the Assyrians, they mocked the God of Israel. And so Hezekiah laid his letter down in the sanctuary before the Lord. He fled to the Lord. And the prophet Isaiah called upon the name of the Lord for deliverance. And then the Lord gave a glorious deliverance. And that's what we find here in Isaiah 26. That's why it speaks there of great deliverance. In verse 4, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And then it says in verse 5, for he, that's the Lord, bringeth down them that dwell on high, the lofty city, that's the capital city of Assyria, Nineveh. He layeth it low. He layeth it to the ground. He bringeth it to the dust. And that's indeed what was going to happen to Nineveh. And so it also says here how they had waited for the Lord and looked upon the Lord. In verse 8, yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. There was no other outcome, no deliverance, no other outcome possible in order to sustain the house of David. And so the desire of our soul is to thy name, it says in verse 8. In verse 9, with my soul have I desired thee in the night. Isaiah says that, but Hezekiah could have said the same thing. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. And then it says, verse 9, when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. And so there was a judgment going on through the Assyrian army. And it was quite fearful. It was terrible. But we are also going through certain periods of judgments, of trials. There have been far worse trials and judgments also upon our nation that we're now going through. We should see things in proper perspective. But what we are enduring now is a judgment of the Lord through this virus, and it's threatening to paralyze public life. Because of the virus, we cannot even come to church in a normal manner. Normally, this church will be full. Now we're only here with a few people. and many are listening at home, watching along. These are judgments of the Lord. And so when we focus upon our text, when the judgments, thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness, we find their food for thought. We find here instruction, and hopefully fitting for our circumstances. So we see here in our text the judgments of the Lord. And we are being warned, but we are also being warmed. The whole world is in commotion because of a virus. It's not only in Canada, not only in Ontario. In Holland, we also had lockdowns. In Holland, we also had months that we came together with nobody. An organist, custodian, one or two elders, and that was it. So it's not only here, it's everywhere. Certain countries have been in a total lockdown. They couldn't even leave their homes. Only certain hours used in groceries. Spain, France. And the whole point is that they want to flatten what they call the curve to avoid the hospitals running out of space. And indeed, in certain countries, they're having problems. Last year in Holland, they shipped out patients to Germany who had more ICU units than they did in Holland. And that's the whole point. If they let everything flow its course, then there will be a whole wave of people admitted to the hospital, and the health system can't take it anymore. People will die. And that will affect, again, politicians and the government and so on. Well, in the midst of this all, we are in somewhat of a problem, and we don't deserve anything better because our sins testify against us. And worldwide, many people have died. 50,000, not a huge percentage on the world population. But the Lord is setting us all straight. The Lord is telling us that we thought we were master of our own destiny. We could plan and manage and arrange everything, and suddenly we're realizing that we can't do that. And what must we think of all this? Well, in the first place, we must confess that God leads all things. We do believe the Word of God, and we adhere to Lord's Day 10, where we confess God's providence and that health and sickness do not come by chance, but they flow to us from the hand of God. The Lord rules all things, but modern man thinks that he can rule everything, and God is left out of the picture. God is being ignored. Man worships the idols of gold, of prosperity. Lying and deceit is common. People are being oppressed. God's children are persecuted in many countries. In many nations, there is no freedom. The only place where there is still freedom is in North America, in Australia, and in Western Europe. The rest of the world is all oppression. People are put in prison. People are held in slavery. The world is a sinful world, and God's people are hated, also in North America and in Western Europe. And because of all this, there are judgments. God's word speaks about it, speaks about judgments, pestilences, sicknesses, which will come upon the face of the earth. The Lord Jesus has told us that this would happen. There will be wars and rumors of wars, famines, disasters, but also pestilences. We read about that in the book of Revelation. And how then must we look at this COVID-19? Well, we may consider it to be a judgment of God. a judgment upon humanity. In human history, it hardly ever happened that churches were cancelled, services couldn't continue, and the countries went into lockdown. It did happen during the Spanish flu. Then also people walked around with masks. The Spanish flu, there was, boys and girls, from 1917 till 1921. It started in the US and spread throughout the whole world. There were three, four waves. And more people died of that flu than in World War I. It's estimated that up to 100 million people died, 100 million people died because of the Spanish flu. Why do they call it the Spanish flu? Well, the flu was worldwide, but there was a war going on. Germany had it too, and France and England had it. They didn't want to talk about it, because if they talked about it, then the enemy would realize, hey, there's something going on, so they kept quiet about it. Spain was out of World War I. And that's why Spain publicized what was going on. That's why people called it the Spanish flu. But it was worldwide, in Australia, everywhere. Church services were canceled in the US. Churches couldn't meet. This is not new, what we're going through. But it is a warning of the Lord. It's a judgment of the Lord upon this earth. And when God's judgments are upon the earth, the inhabitants should learn righteousness. And so although it may have happened before, it's still rather shocking to us. A few years ago, we never expected something like this to happen. We heard about other viruses, Ebola and AIDS, that was far away, it's in Africa. That would never come here, we thought. But now, it's here. And so it's a result of sin. Because God's laws are compromised everywhere. The horrors of abortion are continuing on. And the casualties of World War II are but a minor thing in comparison to the casualties because of abortion. God's laws are put to the side. And immorality is rampant. The homosexual practice is violently rammed into our culture. And the gender issue is becoming a very promoted matter. You know, if you're in a restaurant and there would be a group of people there together and someone would mention she had an abortion, people wouldn't blink an eye. If someone else said he had an affair, they would just chuckle. But if one at that supper table would take a cigarette and light that cigarette, that would be a major offense. People would run him out of the restaurant. How dare you do a thing like that? Well, that's our modern society. The day of the Lord that has been respected already starting in the days of the Romans, when the Roman society, through Constantine, accepted Christianity, then very soon Sabbath day laws were initiated. The soldiers were not allowed to practice on the Lord's Day. Shops had to be closed already in the Roman Empire. And that went through our culture up to this present day. In the 80s, you couldn't see trucks driving on the highways in Canada. And now look what's going on. The Sunday is a normal day. Work goes on as usual. And in churches, God's word is not believed anymore. They believe all kinds of theories. all kinds of theories that have never been proven, that go against the word of God. And if you uphold God's word, you're considered to be a bigot, an old-fashioned person. You're a fanatic and non-tolerant, and also false religion is on the rise. And we see that church attendance drops. Churches stand empty. Many are restless. Many are fearful. Many are pleasure-seeking. There's social injustice and oppression, corruption also in our society. And in the midst of all these events, God is speaking to us through this virus. And what we're now going through is only a slight warning. It's just a little smack. That's all it is, although for some people it's dreadful. We have died from it. Couples I know in our village where we used to live in Holland, they both died. Healthy people. And through this all, God is speaking to us that He is coming to judge the world. It's a warning to us. And then proud man, if he does not repent, he will be cast into the abyss of everlasting darkness. For that's what he wanted, to live without God. And he will get what he wanted, to be without God with him forever. And you know, when we look at the outbreaking sins, we don't have to point to the abortion clinics. We don't have to think of Hollywood or at the criminals in our society. We don't have to point to them. We only need to look at ourselves. Because the judgment of the Lord starts at the house of the Lord. And so we see spiritual backsliding in churches. The love of oneself determines one's conduct, but not the love of Christ. We want to go to heaven without repentance. We want to be blessed without denying ourselves. We don't want to come behind the Lord Jesus and follow Him. We want to go our own way, and that the Lord Jesus just comes along with us. But that's not how it goes. The way to heaven is a way of self-denial. It's a way of dying to ourself. It's a way of looking unto Jesus, Him alone, following Him. And where is the upright witness when we are speaking with other people? Where is the hunger and thirst after righteousness? Where is the sincere repentance, the longing to be clothed with Christ's righteousness? Where is the struggle to live according to God's will? We who have received so much of the Lord, so much preaching throughout the years, so many external blessings. We have received so much. And what have we done with all the blessings, with all the riches of His loving kindness poured out upon us? And what have we done with His word preached to us? Where is the fruit of this all? Now, that's a very personal question for you and also for me. Where is the fruit of all God has given to us? Because the Lord is looking for fruit. You see, and that's why we find here in verse 20, "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed." This is what the Lord Jesus was quoting in the Gospel of Matthew. enter in, but ye enter into your inner chamber and shut the door behind you. And there in your inner chamber, we confess our dullness, our lack of love. There we pour out our heart to the Lord. There we call upon his name. There we must pray for mercy, for forgiveness, for truth in our hearts. We must be convinced of the seriousness of worshiping God, of the necessity of living with God, of knowing him. The Lord gives everything we stand in need of. He's willing to give us all things that we need. But the Lord also asks everything from us. My son, give me thine heart. How is it with us? You know, it's easy to live on in an unconverted state in church. And it's easy to say we believe the Lord, but that we do not follow him. If we truly believe God at his word, we would respond differently. We would take his word seriously. We would indeed enter the inner chamber, and we would pour out our heart in supplication, and we would be begging God for grace to know him more, to love him more, to live with him, that he would be the aim of our life, that he would fill our hearts with himself. Has that been our response to this COVID thing? Do you ever fear the judgment of God? Do you ever tremble for his wrath? Is the thing you dread most in your life is the displeasure of God upon your life? After he's being so good to you, so loving and so full of kindness to you, that you still live for yourself and you turn your back upon him. In the world, they don't fear God's judgment. In the world, God is a non-entity. It's the days of the flood, when they ate and they drank and they married and they gave into marriage and they sowed and they planted and they harvested. What's so wrong about that? It's all without God. And our society is without God. God is moved to the sideline. And that's the sin of our society. And we can pretend that we belong to the righteous few in Canada, but we must have the Lord at the center of our lives. We must learn God's righteousness. And we will do that when we fear his judgments. That's also an element of Christian life. It's love to the Lord, but it's also fearing his judgments. Not that you're afraid of God, but because of the high esteem you have of the Lord, that you wish not to offend him, for he is so holy, has been so good to you, so caring, that you wish to live for him and with him. And so the Lord is warning us through this all that where people are violating all the Ten Commandments of the Lord, that things will not continue on as they are going. Our culture has been resting upon Judeo-Christian principles, and now they are hard at work to remove that foundation. And if that foundation goes, then there's no moral standard anymore. Then there's no moral standard. If we really think through that God does not exist, and that every man is there for himself, that he's just floating around in thin air, and there's no moral standard. If you really think that issue through, you will end up in a mental institution. That's what happened to Nietzsche, the German philosopher, who said, God is dead. And he himself went mad. Because it's horrendous if there's no God and if there's no moral standard. But God gives us his word, his commandments. And he is proclaiming his word and having his word proclaimed throughout all the world. Also now, there are many people who are learning God's righteousness because God is still at work converting people on a grassroots level, one by one, individual grace. And that's what we all need, individual dealings of the Lord with our heart. But we must realize that this world is not to stay. These judgments are warning us for the final judgment. We shouldn't build our home in the woods, in the trees of the wood of this world, because the whole forest is going to be cut down. The world passes on, and later on, these matters will not be remembered anymore. And what are we now focused on? Upon this world, upon this virus. You know, what's far more important, you need a foundation underneath your life of Christ. Then you are his possession. Then you are no longer your own, but you belong to your faithful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he undertakes for you, he leads you, he is with you. Then you are truly blessed. Whatever happens to you, if God be for you, who can be against you? Then all things must work together for your good. And so the Lord is having his word preached and proclaimed throughout the world, and he is calling all men everywhere to repentance. And when people refuse to listen, he will come with his judgments. For when God's judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. That's true. During World War II, the churches were full. After 9/11, the churches were filling up in the States and in Canada. And I still remember an old member here of our church who told me during the bombardment in Rotterdam in 1940 that the neighbors fled to their home. Her dad was an elder in the local Free Reformed Church. And the neighbors never went to church. But they were so afraid. When the bombs were falling down, it's a horrific experience. Some members of our church still know what that entails. And they... those people, they fled to the home of that elder because he serves God and there should be safety there. Then they realize God can only save them. And you know the expression, in a foxhole there are no atheists. Because when God's judgments are upon the earth, people learn righteousness. And so this virus is simply showing us that we are weak, that we cannot do anything without him. And it's an accusation against our sins, the sins of our land and nation. It's a warning that God is not yet finished with this world and that the time is short. And the devil goes around as a roaring, lying, knowing he has but little time left. And he's trying to rally the nations all behind him. And so through this virus and through what's going on in our society, we are called to genuine repentance, to be set and fixed upon the Lord. We are being warned. But we are also being warmed. It's warming to be under the shelter of his wings. Because in the midst of this virus, we need a shelter. In the midst of this world with so much iniquity abounding, we need a shelter. In the midst of other judgments which may come in our lives, in our personal lives, There's but a step between us and death. We need a shelter. We must learn righteousness. And that's the purpose of God's judgment, that we learn righteousness, that we learn to live with the Lord, and that his righteousness is dear to us. It's sad to say that some people harden themselves. And we read in the book of Revelation that when God's judgments are upon the earth, that the nations will initially harden themselves. They will curse God. And then stronger, more severe judgments will come. And that will end up with a final judgment. And finally, when God's judgments are poured out upon the earth, then the nations will learn righteousness, for every knee will be bowed for the Lord Jesus, and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And finally, everyone will have to say, God is just in all his ways and works and in all his judgments. Then the wicked will realize what righteousness is. They will learn it. Sooner or later, everyone will learn it. But for many, it will be too late. It's far better for us now in the time of grace to learn God's righteousness. Now we need to come to conversion and repentance, and we can do that by looking unto the Lord Jesus as he went through the most severe judgment that there is. On Calvary, he was forsaken by God. And there he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And that's why the Lord Jesus came upon this earth, to stand in the heaviest judgment. While he had done nothing wrong, he never deserved to die in God's judgment. But he took the judgment of God upon his people unto himself. And there on Calvary we see the Lord Jesus standing in God's judgment, or rather hanging between heaven and earth under the judgment of God. Heaven did not want him. The earth did not want him. And there he was hanging in the judgment because of the sins of his people. He entered the depths where we should have entered and perished everlastingly. And that judgment was so heavy that during 3 hours there was deep darkness upon the face of the earth. And this darkness was all concentrated upon that one man hanging there on Calvary. This was God's judgment. He wept. He shed his blood. And he did this all out of burning love for his people. He wanted to enter this judgment because he wanted to earn a full remission of sins of his people. And therefore, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He took our sicknesses, our griefs, also the virus, and it all came upon him. So that when his people are smitten with a sickness, and even after entering into death, he is with them, and he will bring them to glory. That sickness, even that virus, will then not be to death, but to the glory of God, for God's people, even if they have to die, because Jesus took the judgment. And he makes sure that God's people, when they pass on, they enter into eternal life. And so we in church, we must learn righteousness. We who should know it so well, people in the world don't know any better. They never had maybe fathers or mothers who took them to church. We must learn this righteousness. How do we learn it? You learn it at the foot of the cross. by looking unto the Lord Jesus, by listening to him. There you are uncovered to your guilt, and there you realize that you can never accomplish the righteousness which can stand before God. There you see that you are lost in yourself, that you are a miserable sinner. But there you see that Christ alone can be your righteousness, that you can never accomplish a righteousness, you can never fulfill the demands of the law, but that he came to fulfill all the demands of the law. And then you see righteousness in his judgments. He stood in the gap for you. People who have no righteousness in themselves, and their only hope is upon the finished work of Christ, there you see that you are worthy of God's wrath. But it's there that God's Spirit opens your eyes to see all righteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see more and more beauty in him. His love led him to give himself for you. That his blood is a full payment for the sins of those who flee to God with sorrow. And this becomes a great miracle for you, that Christ was willing to bear your sins, to stand in your judgments. And then you start to love God's righteousness. And then you realize indeed that the righteousness the Lord Jesus imputes is a better righteousness than that of scribes and Pharisees. They tried to fulfill God's righteousness, could never do it. But the Lord Jesus perfectly loved God his Father and perfectly obeyed all the Ten Commandments throughout all his life. And all that full obedience is imputed to a sinner. And then the Lord Jesus at the end of his life paid the price, the redemption price for sin. And he laid that payment for sin also upon a sinner. And when does that happen? How does that happen? By faith. Simply by faith. When there's a resignation to him and a looking unto him, that you're no longer your own master, but that he is in control of your life, and yet you desire him, that you look unto him, that you have none but him, there you learn righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. Clothed in his robes, you are safe in all circumstances. There you are warmed. There you have peace. There you have assurance that it is well with my soul because of Christ. There you experience peace like a river because of Christ, because of his righteousness. There you are warmed. And that becomes such a miracle, because I should have perished forever. But he looked upon me in love and mercy. And this is the eternal miracle, that he looks upon me in Christ. He speaks to me very personally, exactly in these troubling days. Even in the midst of a serious virus, God speaks to me. While the whole world is in an uproar, God speaks to me. And he speaks peace to my soul. And so the Lord says then, enter your closet, your chamber, shut the door, and call upon the Lord in secret, and wait for him. There you learn righteousness. There you learn to admire his loving kindness. There you see goodness in Christ. And there he grants you his righteousness. There he becomes your Lord and your Savior. And there you see that he has conquered every enemy. There all fear evaporates. There it's only good between you and the Lord. He is mine. I am his. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. I am never alone. He is always with me. Throughout the rest of my life, whatever ill betides me, he is with me. A home he will prepare for me. He is so good that you have warmth in Christ, in his free love for a sinner like you. And then you desire that your life would be filled with Christ. And you long that his image would be instilled in you. And that his righteousness would shine from you. You're ashamed that it's so less, that it's not as it should be. But yet you long for it, that it will be more apparent in your life. You're not there by long, by far, but you're still continuing on that path with him, behind him. Teach me thy way of truth. Lead me in thy ways. Learn me. Teach me righteousness that I may learn it. You see, that word learn here is very important. It's a lifelong learning process. You're never finished learning what his righteousness is. But he teaches. Also, when we fail again, when we stumble again, when we fall again, when we have to undo bad habits, when we have to keep ourselves in check, that our priorities are not right, when we are troubled again, while he said, "Let your heart not be troubled." We are troubled again, and we accuse ourselves. We fall in short of so many things, but repeatedly you're at the foot of the cross, and there you see his righteousness, his love. He gave himself for me, and I'm a sinner. When I'm called to resign my life, I do it for someone who is good. When a martyr gives his life for Christ, he gives it for one who is good. But Christ came and he gave his life for wicked, sinful people. That's what the Lord Jesus did. It's no comparison. That's how good and great, how all-encompassing his love is. Do you long for the Lord Jesus? Do you long for his image upon you? The world with all its glory will fade away. The most important thing in this life is that his church would prosper, that your congregation would prosper, that we would pray for one another in the congregation by name, that we would implore God for his Spirit to come down to work in our children, our young people, to work through the proclamation of God's word through your pastor, and that his kingdom would come amongst you. We're now confronted with a virus, and maybe we hope the virus will go away. I think we're all hoping that. But let's learn righteousness. That's better. Let it not be with us. I have smitten you, but you have not felt any pain. That's what the Lord has said to apostate Israel. Let it not be said of us that there was a judgment, a minor judgment perhaps, but you felt no pain and you learned no righteousness. Let that not be said of us, but let it be for us a miracle, that we have received so many advantages above so many other people throughout all history. Oh, let us learn righteousness in the way of repentance, in the way of looking unto Jesus. For there's no God like thee, clothed with strength and majesty. Amen.